On a Smith's throwing stretch. And happy Father's Day, everyone. So we know Jesus as the good shepherd, and we know God as the good father. So I thought I'd read the good shepherd parable. So if you were chunking to John chapter 10, because it really shows you, I mean, it goes hand in hand with a good father. So John 10, I'm going to start at verse 1 and read this from the King James. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." So right there, you know, that shows you a father. You know, a child knows his father's voice, you know, because a child is, you know, by a good father, a child is raised up by a good father and trains and teaches him, so that child knows the voice of his father and won't follow a stranger. So verse 4 says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were. They understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." So you can see this exactly the same way as God the Father. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And that's the same thing with the Father. You know, if there's a child, that the child is free to come to the Father and go about as he pleases. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And isn't that exactly what a good father does? You know, a good father will lay down his life for his own children. Verse 12, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I laid down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." And I think this is cool, because we know this talks about Israel and then the Gentiles. But this, you can go hand in hand with somebody who's adopted, you know, a father and a mother who adopts a child. It's the same thing. It's no different. Verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And so that I just thought was, you know, we know him as the good shepherd, but it really goes hand in hand with how God is the good father, you know, sending his only son for us. He loves us so much. And it just, you know, it shows you that whatever we go through, you know, you think, you know, those of us who are parents who have children, you want to do everything you can to help them. You know, you don't, it's hard when you see them go through something. You want to do everything you can for them. And how much more does God the Father feel that way towards us? And yet there are times when we go through periods where it's like, it feels like God's abandoned us. You know, you're going through a hard time and you're praying, you're asking God where you're at, but he's always there and he never leaves us and nor forsakes us. And it just, I just thought that was a really good story to read today, you know, on Father's Day, because, you know, he is the good father. So whatever you're going through, know that your father is there. So, and that is all I have.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, it says in Psalms that our Father, our Heavenly Father, is a father to the fatherless. So those who don't have a father, God is our father. Amen. It's Father's Day, and it's always really emotional for me. It's okay. I know you guys understand. When you lose a father, it's forever, it feels like, but it's not. You know, you'll see him in heaven, but I know there's times when I'm like, just wish I could just see him one more time, you know. That's okay. Because I know that God is my father. In every question that I have, he's always there. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 13. So when I was going through this, I just love how God puts this together. Today is Father's Day. And I was preparing this message and I realized this is about fathers, because fathers are leaders. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And I just thought how neat this was, that specifically the writer of Hebrews says, whose faith follow. So it doesn't say, remember them which have rule over you. Remember their mistakes. Remember their shortcomings. Remember their sin. Remember all the things that they messed up in front of you in your life as your leader. It says, remember their faith and follow their faith. And so I just want you to think about how important that is. Don't think about anything else in everyone's, every sin in every leader's life. Because think about your own life and think about how many times all of us have made mistakes. Think about how many times we've made mistakes in front of our kids and how many times they've seen us mess up. Right? But do we still have to be leaders? Do we still have to be their parents? We still have to raise them? We do. And it's the same way with all leaders, those who are in authority over us. They're going to make mistakes. Don't follow their mistakes. Follow their faith. Amen? And then skip ahead to verse 17. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And in the NLT it says, "Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit." And we all know just as parents, we all know how difficult it is to raise children, but we also know how much a blessing it is. You know, and I think about our Heavenly Father, that He has all of these children on earth, and sometimes we do grieve Him, you know, and sometimes we make mistakes, and He knew that He would have to send His Son to pay for those sins. He knew He did. And He knew that Jesus would have to become like a man, and He would have to watch His own Son suffer and die for us because He loves us all. That is how much our Heavenly Father loves us and how much He cares about us, is He was willing to sacrifice His only Son, His only begotten Son, so that we could have eternal life. That's His love and His grace toward us. And I just want to encourage you, fathers. You know, God made you a father. God did. He's the one that gave you your children. Whether you have children of your own or whether you have spiritual children, God gave them to you. Each child is a gift. Each child is a special part of God that came down just for you. That is how good our God is. Amen. I'm going to read some verses out of Proverbs about fathers. And I'm going to start at Proverbs chapter 6. And I have several of these, so you can just follow along. Proverbs is so important for those who are fathers raising children and those who are children listening to their parents. So Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." In these words, every time that we read the Word of God, it is a word of faith to us, and it builds and strengthens our faith. And so we have to remember, when our fathers have taught us the Word of God, sometimes we think things like, well, my dad really wasn't much of a Christian. But you know, God, He puts into people things that help raise their children, that benefit them. Even like we think common sense is just a worldly thing, that we all take care of common sense things. But those are things that God put into our fathers to teach us. Things like taking care of our finances and taking care of our households. These are things that God put into our fathers that our fathers put into us, right? And they're good things. So we follow their faith, right? They believed that it was honorable to take care of things. And I'm not saying all fathers are perfect, right? But we hold on to the faith that we've been taught, right? And then Proverbs 14:26, it says, "Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge." I just love that. I think how awesome that verse is. And then Proverbs 17, verse 6, it says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." And in another version, it says, basically, grandchildren are the crown of grandfathers and grandmothers. And I just think how awesome that is. Like, you think you love your children, and then you have grandchildren, and it's like, wow, can't love them anymore. It just gets better and better. And then, let's see, Proverbs 20, verse 7, it says, "He who walks in his integrity is righteous. Happy are his children who follow him." Amen. And then Psalm 103:13 says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." And then if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. This is another, just like Michael read about the good shepherd, the good father. This is along those same lines. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to start at verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? I just thought how amazing this is that Jesus speaks right into people's hearts. He knows our hearts. Verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And I'm going to do one more. Luke 15. I love this story because it's about the prodigal son. I just love how Jesus shows how much love a father can have for his child. Luke 15, I'm going to start at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And don't you know that the father knew the son's heart? The father knew what the son was going to do and still gave him his inheritance. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And I'm not going to read the rest of it, but we know how the older son got upset because of the forgiveness that his father showed the younger son. And it's just amazing to me that sometimes we don't understand the father's love for his children. We don't understand how God can love people in the world that in our hearts we think, man, that person is unlovable. That person will never change, never become what God has called them to be. How could God still love them? Because God's love is more powerful than any force in the entire universe. God's love trumps any sin because the death of his son covered all sin, took the sacrifice for all sin. Amen. So today I was praying about this service and I really felt like we need to pray for the fathers. And so we're going to do something a little different today. So I'm going to have Michael go ahead and conclude the recording.